Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Jr. puts a charge in this one, going to center. Ooh. Adios! La Pantera goes back to back, and the White Sox take a 2-0 lead in the third.
Luis Robert, home run last year, courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. John Schriffman on the call with Steve Stone. Inside the clubhouse, Ryan McGuffey and Bruce Levine. We are pleased now to go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, where we find special assistant to the GM, David Keller, who will now oversee international scouting for the Chicago White Sox. Download the Circa Sports app today. Bruce, happy to have David with us.
We are, and David, thanks for taking some time out in a Saturday morning to join us in Inside the Clubhouse. You're listed as a special assistant to the general manager, but we know that you're going to be the director of international scouting. So from the perspective of a job description, tell us a little bit about your day-to-day with Chris and the rest of the front office guys.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you having me on the show. You know, the special assistant title is a broad one, and oftentimes it leads to assisting in areas where there's help needed. And so initially, my focus is going to be on international scouting and rebuilding the department, setting up a system and process that allows us to be successful in targeting and acquiring international talent. But it won't be limited to that or limited in that scope. My interaction with Chris is, and Josh and Jen is wide ranging, and they've looped me in. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be brought in to talk about everything from major league free agency to the amateur draft.
David, you came from the Mets and you had been there for quite a while, I believe since like 2009. And sometimes, you know, the White Sox have not been an organization until recently that had many voices from, you know, quote unquote, the outside when they brought them over. And you come in as that kind of a new set of eyes, a new fresh voice. And I just want to kind of open that up a little bit, because what can that do to an organization that's, you know, basically at the bottom, kind of trying to rebuild themselves from whether it's international or the draft or major league scouting, as you said? How can your fresh perspective help a team that hasn't maybe had one, you know, in in the years past?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think, you know, anytime you're in the position that our organization finds itself in, it's going to take a collective effort to build from here. And I think, you know, having experience with the Mets prior to that, as a director of pro scouting with the Marlins, and prior to that experience in Boston and being a part of a world championship with the Red Sox in 2013, I think all of those experiences probably shape who I am as a person, the perspective I bring. But I've had the tremendous opportunity to learn from and grow with a lot of really talented baseball executives over my time. And those experiences, best practices that I've observed or been a part of, those are things that I believe I can help bring to the White Sox and at a very minimum begin a conversation with the group that we have, so that together we can formulate a plan to help the team and organization be successful down the road.
David, scouting Cuban players over the last 20 years and bringing them in, there's been a lot of hit and miss for teams, including the White Sox. When you look at Cuba and you realize their professional season for the teams are 95 games, that when they come over here, the translation is different as well, because in Cuba they don't really even have a second or third language of English, and then assimilating to the United States, both on the field and off. How careful do you have to be? You know, you have the Jose Abreu examples where he comes here and he outkicks his coverage and is everything and more than what everybody wanted. And then you have other examples for the White Sox where guys just haven't been able to stay on the field, whether it's their fault or not. Injuries have impacted them, the ability to play 160 games. So in your opinion, how much discussion is there about that when you look at a player coming from Cuba, and how do you approach it going forward as the main international guy?
Yeah, so I think it's important to understand that there are immensely talented players across the globe, whether it's Cuba, the United States, Japan, the Dominican Republic, Venezuela. Talented players come from all corners of the globe. And I think from our perspective, the international department's job is to evaluate those players, assign value to them, and then ultimately acquire talented players for the White Sox. As a part of that evaluation process, I think we get into the player's body, the athlete, the tools, and then makeup. And I think you touched on, you know, players' ability to assimilate. One of our jobs in the evaluation process, and it's a challenging one for sure, but it's to get to know the player, understand the story and the context behind that player's growth and development, and then ultimately project what we think that player can be for the White Sox, and project that and communicate that effectively to the front office so that together we can make good decisions.
All right, so drafting, just the regular MLB draft is hard enough. I mean, you can go through any draft class, as you know, and we can go through the top five picks, and that's why there's only, up until recently, no number one picks had ever been in the Hall of Fame. I think that number is up to four, if I'm not mistaken, all time when you think about it. That's hard enough to get right. How much harder is it to get the international free agency right? Because you're signing, you're talking about getting to know the players. These guys are signing at 15, 16, 17 years old. And, you know, fans, it's easy for fans to be like, oh, you know, the Fernando Tatis trade when he was 17. No one knows. Now, Fernando Tatis might be a bad example because we knew about his father. But yeah, a lot of these guys are coming from nothing. Baseball is saving their lives. And they're taking a chance at 16 and 17, just like the White Sox would be. How much harder is that to get right when you compare it to just the regular MLB draft overall?
Yeah, and I think it's an important distinction there is that they're signing at either 16 or 17 years old. Sometimes it's a little bit later, depending on when they are officially signed by teams. Sure. But the evaluation process begins much earlier. And you know, my counterparts across the game, we are beginning to watch these players at a much younger age. And
how young? Sorry to interrupt. How young?
Yeah, so as young as 12 years old, 13 years old.
Let's think about that.
So the evaluation process begins a lot further before they actually sign and are a part of the organization. And so, yeah, when you talk about the challenges of evaluating and trying to get players right, we really are looking into a crystal ball. If he's 12 years old, that's 4 years, 5 years before they sign a professional contract. It's another optimistically 5 to 7 years before they put on a major league uniform. I think the job in front of us is extremely challenging. I think that's why Major League Baseball, rightfully so, is exploring ways to maybe improve the process. But for us, you know, I think anytime you look at trying to make good decisions, you want to set up a process and a system and install people, talented individuals and folks who have experience to help you with those systems and processes to help you arrive at good conclusions.
I met you at the general manager meetings with Chris. He had five other top officials in the White Sox front office with him. That's usually not the case, okay? But what we've seen mm-hmm. from Chris on our side is when he brings someone in and he sits down and he talks to David Keller and tells him about his vision and then you tell him about yours, it seems like with Chris, there's a lot of confidence and a lack of ego because of the fact that he wants people to be equals to him and be partners. Was that the case when you decided to come with the White Sox?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I think Chris is an unbelievable person, first and foremost. I think he has a very clear vision for how he wants to go about building the organization. He's incredibly, incredibly bright. And I think as a part of that, he's also very open and communicative. And so when he first approached me about the opportunity to join the White Sox, you know, we talked a lot about my experience with the Mets and how that has shaped me and helped me grow into the person and evaluator that I am currently. And then he shared with me what his vision was. And I think what I felt from Chris was an extreme level of comfort with him, how he goes about his business, the values that he has and the vision that he has for the organization. And ultimately it was a decision that I wanted to come be a part of what he was building and a partner to him and help him achieve the goals and things that he has laid out for this organization.
The international signing period ends on December 15th, and if math is correct here, you got roughly $740,000 to $50,000 probably left in your international pool. Now that you can trade the money as well, is that mm-hmm. something that you're giving yourself flexibility, knowing that the winter meetings are coming up? There's some flexibility there. I mean, I'm assuming you have a plan, but is there flexibility for you guys to, you know, to when you're looking at some of these possible trades down the coming down the pipeline in a few weeks? Is there another player on your radar? I mean, I would guess that you have a plan on either spending it or trading it, correct?
Yes. So there's definitely a plan. But I think for Chris, for myself, for the rest of the front office, we want to be open and flexible and make sure that we have every opportunity laid out in front of us so that we can make quality decisions based on the opportunities in front of us. So not to sidestep your question, but I'm going to sidestep it a little bit and just tell you that we have a plan and we want to make sure that we utilize those funds correctly.
David, when you look at scouting a player, how much these days do you put in the metrics? How much is research and development in your mind when you're looking at a young player now than when you started with the Mets way back, you know, 16 or 17 years ago. How has scouting for you in particular and the game in general changed from when you first began?
That's a tremendous question. I think when I first started, there was a tendency to lean on experience and the ability to compare players with one another and experience that went into evaluation that I think is still prevalent today and important today. I think it's also important to tell you, like, I don't think I ever made a decision or wrote a report on a player when I started in professional scouting in 2010 that didn't involve looking at the numbers and the information that was available to me. I think what has changed over that period of time in the last 15 years is the amount of information and the type of information. And so I think that for myself and for many other really talented evaluators across the game, they've always factored in any and all information possible into their evaluation. And today the complex nature of the information that we have to evaluate only makes it more challenging to apply for the best evaluators in the game, but it also for the sharpest, for the most intelligent evaluators, it gives them just another tool to evaluate trends and really make decisions on players.
So I'm going to piggyback off of that, and it might be another sidestep question, but because I don't know how comfortable you would be, but if you could project now the future, if like take what you know now, where the game is, where the scouting is, and where international scouting is, and throw the chains 15 to 20 years from now about, I don't think you can project where it'll be, but if you could say, like, I think these three things would help if we could put them in, what would they be, or how would that look?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and one that I probably haven't spent enough time thinking about intentionally. So I think the one thing that we are currently and going to continue to try and gain a competitive advantage across the industry with is assessing and evaluating a player's makeup, as we touched on earlier in the conversation. And those things can be everything from aptitude to mental skills, really continuing to build out our assessments in the performance space. I think that's where the next frontier is. I think some teams are further along in that than others. But really, I think if I were to look at least 5 years out, that's probably where the most growth will take place.
David, we appreciate your time. We look forward to spending more time with you at the winter meetings. I know it's going to be exciting for you to be at that level with the rest of the front office there. It really does make me excited for the White Sox future when I see Chris bringing in a lot of young people from different organizations and immediately empowering them to be a voice at the table. I think that's a first beginning of success for any organization, and I think Ryan and I look forward to working with you as media guys and look forward to your success. So all the best to you. Absolutely. And see you in a couple weeks in Dallas.
Thanks, David.
Ryan and Bruce, thanks so much for having me. See you in Dallas.
Special assistant to the GM for the Chicago White Sox and overseas international scouting. That was David Keller. Just really good stuff there. And I'd like to elaborate maybe a little bit more when we come back on the other side of a break. Cubs second baseman Nico Horner. Bruce, I'm looking forward to that. Cub fans certainly are. It'll be his first interview since he had surgery. And plenty of questions to ask as the Cubs embark on a big offseason. That and more when Inside the Clubhouse returns on 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine back here on Inside the Clubhouse. And before Chicago takes on Minnesota, tune in tomorrow from 9 to noon for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Olin Kruch, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have the instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. And Bruce, earlier we were saying this week that both Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani unanimously won the MVP for both leagues in the least shocking vote maybe of all time.
I was surprised. I thought Witt would get three or four first place votes. If you look at the totality of his year, I mean, again, you want to either look at it through WAR, you want to look at it from the season they had. I just think that Witt, you can make the case that Witt had as much or more impact on his team than Judge did. He was basically the only superstar on the Royals. The Royals gained, 35 games in the standings from 106 losses last year in 2023. Watching him against the White Sox, he looked like a robot. He was flawless on defense, flawless base running, huge hits. Maybe it was White Sox were, it's not a good analogy because they weren't very good last year, but to me, it would have been a tough choice. I didn't get an MVP vote this year, but it would have been a tough choice for me picking between the two because they were both tremendously impactful on their team.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in any other year he wins the MVP. So that's actually fair. And because of Juan Soto's impact on the Yankees, you may have thought some people would split that difference and that would have allowed Bobby Witt to get a few MVP votes.
He got every second place vote.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen, has there ever been an MVP vote where you've had unanimous first place winners and one unanimous second place winner? I mean, that's very rare.
Not that I remember. I mean, it could have happened, but for Soto not to get any first or second, it tells you how dominant
Aaron Judge
these guys were. Because in any other year, you take these two guys away and Soto is probably a unanimous MVP for the Yankees, right? Let's say there's no one called Aaron Judge, right? So from what he did alone, you can make a case for him being the MVP as well, excluding those two guys. So it was a phenomenal year for all three guys. You wouldn't be wrong in voting for any of them. But Judge, you throw him out there. If he plays 150 games, he's going to hit 55 home runs.
All right, let's talk about Ohtani real quick before we hit the break. Do you think he pitches again? Should he pitch again? I know you have some pretty strong feelings here. I mean, he's already won the MVP not pitching. The first MVP with the Angels had a little bit to do with both. This guy's proven that he doesn't need to pitch in order to be this dominant.
So he's had two elbow surgeries, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And now a labrum issue.
You have the best player on the planet. Okay. Why be greedy? Right?
And you won the World Series.
I mean, as a fan, yes, I want to see him pitch and hit. Okay, I get that because he's a phenomenon, and you don't know what level you can be at. But after missing a year, how many innings is right? Should he go to the bullpen and pitch out of there? Should he be the closer for the team 3 days a week? I mean, there's all kinds of different scenarios that tells you, This is fantastic. It's going to be exciting, but at the same time, it's like, don't be greedy. You have the best player in the world. He's liable to win 3 or 4 more MVPs and do things that other people never did before, just like he did last year. So why push it?
Yeah, and I would tread lightly on the bullpen usage because it's a completely different animal. I mean, I just think about Garrett Crochet now. He was adamant about how his body responds having the every 5-day routine. And to be honest with you, he proved to the world, and not just himself. He was the one who said, I can do this, and the White Sox gave him the launching pad in order to right. do it. And look, every reliever you've ever talked to, Bruce, has always said, it's a grind and it beats you up. So speaking of guys who don't pitch but are rehabbing in the offseason due to injuries and surgeries, we got Cubs second baseman Nico Hoerner on the other side. And look, his name is a hot-button topic and name that's being floated around in trade talks. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about his season with the Cubs and if he stays on the north side, where it goes from here. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Here's the 3-1. Drilled to deep left field, back toward the wall. This ball is going to be gone. Home run for Nico Hoerner. A line drive to the bullpen and left. A clothesline. I barely had time to make the call. It got out of here so fast.
Pat Hughes on the call right here on The Score. Nico Hoerner, home run from August 9th. I'm Ryan McGuffey. He's Bruce Levine. Here on Inside the Clubhouse, we go back to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Compliments of CircaLasVegas.com.
And we bring in the second baseman of the Chicago Cubs, our buddy Nico Hoerner, joining us, taking some time out on a Saturday morning to spend some time talking a little baseball. Nico, thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing great. We're here talking baseball. The weather's starting to turn here. I don't know if you were in Chicago or where are you these days?
Not.
In between here in California?
Yeah, I've been in San Francisco this whole fall. Yeah, it's been nice.
Ryan and I have been talking a little bit about, you know, the makeup of the team going into next year. And first and foremost, how are you doing? I know Spiegel and Holmes had you on about 3 weeks ago. How is the recovery coming from the flexor tendon surgery for you right now?
Yeah, it's going well. You know, it's the first surgery I've ever had, which is kind of fortunate, I guess, in some ways, to have lasted this long. yesterday was a 6-week mark from the surgery, so definitely hitting all the boxes we want to by this point. And you know, as far as I'm feeling very confident in the process, and nice to know that, you know, my body's healing well up to this point. It's mainly focusing on range of motion at this point, but in a good spot.
I know it was a frustrating season, you know, all around just for you guys. I mean, there were some ups, there were some downs. Sometimes the wins and the runs came in big bunches, and then, you know, for the next month, for whatever reason, it was a lack thereof, and then you guys finished kind of with the same record as you did a year ago. Just with, you know, your season, the team season, and then the frustration maybe of having a surgery at the end of it here in the off season. Just how have you been able to kind of step away and give the 30,000-foot view of the 2024 Cubs season?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, breaking it down on an individual level and then team level, it was almost, I think it stung more to come up short again, because I think there were such strong stretches, like you mentioned, that really showed what the group is capable, similar to the year before, I guess. It's part of what makes it encouraging, but also frustrating, in that the group is definitely capable of a whole lot more than 83 wins. There's just a lot more there. And, you know, I feel that on an individual level too. You know, there's a million things I could have done better. I could have had a better year as a whole statistically, but I think more so for me, when I think back to my own season, there's just a lot of moments I could have really turned games and had a similar year, you know, with an overall stat line and such, but just impacted some moments at a higher level in ways that I've done a lot in my career, I think. But that was kind of probably what stung the most individually from this past year.
When a player like yourself plays injured for a good portion of the year, doesn't say anything about it, doesn't complain about it, but obviously it impacts his ability to perform at the top level. How do you get your head around that? You know, again, you played more games than any player on the Cubs last year and more hits. Your defensive numbers were better than they were in the past 2 years. The eye test told you and me, or at least it told me, that you were even better than the Gold Glove year you had, and yet you didn't get one. So when you see things not going your way and you know all these things, how do you get that right in your head rather than just telling us I could do better, which isn't really the total answer?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get your head around that?
Yeah. I think you mentioned the games played, like that is being available is something that I think is incredibly important and something that matters a lot to me. Being able to give the best version of you that you have just kind of day after day throughout the course of an entire season. Obviously I can play at a much higher level than I did this season, but you know, I was proud. I felt like I did a good job of managing the things that I was dealing with. You know, I didn't expect to get surgery after the season, so it's not like that was just something that was waiting in the works all year or anything, you know. So it is, when you do take a step back in a 30,000 foot view, you know, you can be proud of what you did from a mental standpoint, but no, there was a lot of things like, what could you do within your control that really would be different? And, you know, there were some things that were challenging physically, but that's going to be true every year in one way or another. Yeah, lots and lots of ways to improve. And I think rehab is actually a really interesting time to kind of really slow down. I'm not traveling this fall. I'm in one place, have a bit of nice schedule with that. And you can slow down and really reflect in a way that provides a lot of clarity. And then you show up the next year and run it back as a better version of yourself.
Now, you're a veteran of the game at this point. I know it's comes naturally at 27 that you're a veteran, but that's the way the baseball season, the baseball career
yeah,
works.
Fast, yeah.
But I believe I heard you on these same airwaves over the summer, kind of joking at the trade deadline. You know, I think you pushed back your call with Spiegs to like an hour later, and they're like, "Oh God, is Nico going to be traded? Is Nico going to be traded?" And, and you had fun with it. And you know, it's not fun to have your name like thrown out there, you know, and not know the uncertainty certainly of your own future, but you also understand how it works at this point and your name consistently is thrown out there. How do you navigate it differently in the off season? Do you even care? I'm sure you care about the future and where you're going to be. I know you want to be here, but how do you navigate that in an off season where you're dealing with rehabbing and just trying to get healthy and right for the 2025 Cubs?
Yeah, it's a, you know, a bit of an uncharted territory in some ways. I mean, you stated it as an obvious thing and as it should be. And that, like, I do care. Like, yeah. I'm going to say, I don't care. Like I care a lot about that. You know, I do want to be here. I want to be here from, you know, the last great team here being traded away through rebuilding and the team improving and going through some challenging years and coming out on, you know, the other side of it here in upcoming years and really taking the next couple steps towards really being dominant year after year. And I believe that's in the works and I want to be a big part of that, obviously. But there's always going to be a gap between, you know, your vision as an individual and there can be a gap between your vision as an individual and the direction of the team. And, you know, hopefully we're on the same page and I'm here next year, but it does not change how I prepare because I'm going to control my own end. And, you know, if I don't have a good working elbow, then none of that really matters, I guess.
Nico Hoerner, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. Nico, when you look at your relationship with Craig Counsell and learning a new manager and him learning a new second baseman, it was surprising to me at the beginning of the year that he had dropped you to the, you know, near the 7-8 part of the lineup. Hitting down there after the success that you had at the top of the lineup for the Cubs in the past. And eventually, as the season wore on and there were injuries to others and lack of production by others, you worked your way back up there at times. But what was the conversations like with him about how he envisioned you? Because from everything we got from guys last year, it's that you might not like everything that Council has to say to you, but he bases it on, you know, facts that the way he looks at it, and you're always updated by him before it takes place. So what was that relationship like with you as far as getting to know him and playing for him?
Yeah, I think you described it really well in that there's nothing that he does that's just kind of throwing stuff together and seeing what happens. Like, he's always paying incredible attention. His attention to detail is pretty unmatched, I think. And, you know, everything he does comes from a lot of thought and preparation and also communication. And, you know, as a player, that's all you can ask for. And he does it in a way that holds you to a high standard, but also instills confidence in you. And I think that's a really great quality, because players are smart sometimes. And in that, they can tell if a manager is, or anyone is, just complimenting him just to, you know, fluff him up. But he's so well read and observant that he knows exactly why a player is valuable, and he'll remind you of that, but also hold you to a high standard to improve in other ways. And then also just be honest when there's a gap between, you know, what you're doing and what he thinks the best version of you can be. And I really appreciate that. You know, in my case, he's, you know, he holds me to a high standard and wants me to continue to develop and, pursue the best version of how I can impact winning for us.
Is there any flexibility in the conversations that he has for you to be able to speak your piece and your thought process to go along with his, which is basically both of you helping the Cubs be a better version of themselves by how you play and where you play?
Yeah, I think that's always a great quality in leadership, when you have, you know, someone in a leadership role that's also a really great listener. And I think he's, you know, always asking questions of other people on the staff, of players, and just continuously trying to learn. And I really appreciate that about him. And a part of that too is he knows how and when to use his voice. You know, when if you're constantly, you know, giving speeches, or your voice is a part of just the everyday locker room or whatever it is, those things can go flat in sports. And so I think he does a really great job of knowing how and when to use it. And so when he does speak to people individually or as a group, like, it really, really resonates, and definitely everybody takes his messages to heart.
Cody Bellinger obviously is back. He opted back in with you guys, and it's a busy time of year as we get close to the winter meetings. How much are you keeping an eye on what's going on with what Jed is doing with the roster? And you know, do you have any input if he reaches out to you guys, the veterans of the team, about adding to what's already on the club?
Yeah, as far as input, no, that's not something that, you know, I've ever been a part of on the team direction or things like that. But yeah, I pay attention here and there. I think, you know, obviously from a personal level, like, guys getting non-tendered or traded or whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, you just care a lot about and have spent a lot of time with, and families and all of that. And so just, you know, wanting the best for teammates that stay and move on, all the above, and staff as well. There's so much turnover every year in the sport. And then, you know, as far as the direction of the team, you know, there's ways we can improve by adding guys or calling guys up, but there's also, I think, a lot of improvement within the roster itself. And I know I said that last off season as well, but, you know, I really do believe that. And there's definitely even for guys that had solid years, I think almost everyone feels there's a lot that we left on the table for guys that will be returning. So, you know, when you combine that with the opportunity to have money spent and production from the minor leagues that we showed last year, like, I think that's a really great combo and a great recipe for success.
Nico, have a great holiday season. Thank you for joining Ryan and I today. We appreciate it very much. Look forward to seeing you hopefully for the Cub convention. I imagine that might be the next time, but keep up the good work with the rehab, and thanks so much.
And I got one more for you, Nico, before you go, because everyone's talking about the big game, college game days right now at the Horseshoe, which is Indiana, Ohio State. But honestly, what's the pick? We know it's Stanford-Cal today. down year.
Considering that it feels, even though it's a rivalry, it feels a little less meaningful without the Pac-12. You know, it's just like kind of a sore subject. But I'm not making the trip up to Berkeley today. But I will be rooting for Stanford for sure.
Of course. Throw out the records. Nico, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks,
man. Take care.
All right, Bruce, good stuff, my friend. Putting a bow, that's a pretty good way to put a bow on a show, my friend.
Let's put a bow on Steve Rosenblum, see how he looks with the bow.
You want to just put a bow on him?
Well, he'll have another...
Isn't he going to talk about how to stuff a turkey? Saturday Suckage coming up next?
I don't know about a turkey, but there'll be something like that in the conversation.
Alex, thanks for making it sound good behind the glass.
Yeah, have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We will not be back next Saturday.
Boo.
There will be a football show here. We have the
what?
Thanksgiving holiday off next Saturday. We'll be back with you on December 7th. Everybody out there, thank you very much. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website, 670thescore.com. Ryan, happy holidays to you and your family as well. Thanks much.
Same to you, buddy. At Ryan McGuffey. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. It's Inside the Clubhouse, 670 The Score.